So today, may I get your attention to a few questions. Simple, simple questions. Like what you see, is there a God? We can follow up by asking another question. Is there a God? Another question is, how come people all over the world ask the same question? Is there a God? And the third question we're going to ask is, how much does it matter whether there is a God or not? Now, is there a God, the creator of heaven and earth, the almighty, only true God? Now, anyone who travels around the world or you read books, go into the internet, you know that people from all nations, all races and cultures, you find people everywhere worshipping gods or goddesses or deities or spirits, worshipping gods everywhere. Okay? So, if you do a little research on world religion, religions of the world, you will find the complexity, multiplicity of gods around the world. People from different nations and cultures, they worship their gods. Now, I did a little study on religions in China. Maybe that's what I'm more familiar with. So if I ask you what is the most popular religion in China, I believe some would say Buddhism, right? Wrong. The most people in China today, more than 50%, they believe in folk religions. Okay, F-O-L-K. That means they worship spirits, gods, divinities, which are handed down to them through their ancestors from generation to generation. Now, I was brought up in Hong Kong, okay? And after that, I spent about 20 years working as a social worker. You all know what social worker does, you know. I go visitations, talk to people about family dynamics. I speak to them about their way of life, and also their moral standards, and also they told me about their beliefs. And I found that folk religions usually do not have a fixed doctrine. Not fixed doctrines written down in the book, you know, like the Bible, okay? So what do they do? How do they know what they're going to do? It's just they follow what their predecessors did. So this is folk religion. And the fact is more than half of the Chinese people in China today, they worship folk religions. Now, when I came over to Canada, I had a chance to go into Regent College. Heard about it? Yeah, and study theology. And one of the things I have to study, New Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. So I had to study a little bit about Greek culture. And it was, New Testament was written in Greek for the simple reason that was the most popular language, you know, used at that time. And I found in the Greek culture, there is something called Greek mythology. Now, I found it was a big topic because it was very much related to the Greek culture and the way of life and literature, and very much like the Chinese mythology, where they have gods, divinities, deities, you know, they worship heroes. They worship kings and emperors who lived. They also worship fairy tales, angels, and also they even worship the forces of nature. Now, their concept of God, according to Greek mythology, gods or goddesses, or even their mythological creatures, are mostly related to their culture and history, and the stories that were handed down to them from generation to generation. They also believe in fairy tales. So they're fairies, and they say they are gods which are more related to nature. So they call God of beauty. They say God, some gods related to love, so the God of love. Some gods who are more related to war, so there is God of war. And on the bad side, they have God of the underworld, the good God and evil God. So I study about Greek mythology, and I also study about the names of these Greek gods. Now, unlike the names I found in Chinese mythology, these names, these gods, are totally foreign to me. And of course, their stories are foreign to me too. Now, the reason why I knew so much, a little bit, okay, but I spent 45 years in Hong Kong, in China. The reason why I knew so much about Chinese mythology and their gods and divinities and deities was because I grew up in China. So I did not grow from a Greek culture. Now, after hearing all this, now you will find that all the folk religion I talk about is actually very related to your own culture. And it ended with different people with different concepts of God. Some people are very interested in religion, and they do exercise some spiritual exercises to acquire some sort of spiritual experience. But we ended up with multiplicities of God and deities. Now, you will know that from the Chinese point of view, all deities, they can come from heaven, they can come to earth. Some has power, some have less power, and which is actually quite similar to the Greek mythological gods. But everything is related to the history, and also they are so different and diverse. Now, the existence of God, the creator of heaven and earth, whether he exists or not, cannot be based on human likings. You don't like him, he does not exist. You like him, he exists. The existence of God cannot be based on individual culture or history. God must be a universal God, a God of all men, a God for all men, because he is the creator. Whenever he acts, whatever he says must be related to every man on this earth. So when he deals with people, when God deals with people, he will deal with all men the same, regardless of their nationality, race, and culture. We must know that God has a much bigger plan on his hand, because he created billions of stars, and he sustained them by moving them in the regular orbits. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, God created the earth and all the living things that you see, and he maintained them to give them life and energy. And there are thousands of ways I can tell you how God sustained the universe and this world, living world. So to find an answer to the question, is there a God? Actually, you don't need to guess, you know. You just have to observe, because the evidence is clear. And you will find that the evidence is actually overwhelming. Now, how does God reveal himself? Is God revealing? It's not individual people trying to find out about God and obtain some sort of spiritual experience. It's God, the Creator, revealing himself to all men. So it is very different. Now, there are 4 points about God's revelation from the Bible. The first one is that God reveals himself through his creation. In the Bible, Romans 1:20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse, without excuse to say that there is no God. God has revealed to us through his creation, the first thing he says is eternal power. Eternal power, his power in sustaining the universe. And there is no excuse that a person says he cannot see the power of God moving, operating in this universe. God's creation is a living witness of his power for all mankind. So even before the first man was created, since the beginning of man, God has prepared everything for him. In the same way, God also prepared everything to provide everything to meet the needs of his people, irrespective of his nationality, language, or culture. God sent us the sunshine, the rain, and the air to breathe in. This is something that we enjoy every day. So first thing about God's revelation is that he reveals his power to us through his creation. Now the second thing about God's revelation, is that God has put into the human heart, all human hearts, a longing, a desire for eternity. According to the Bible, Ecclesiastes 3:11, is that God has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no man can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. Of course, this is telling us that nobody can understand everything that God is doing because he's so great. Nobody can understand everything that God has done in the past. And nobody can understand everything that God will be doing in the future. But there is something we know. We know. Because we know that there is the sense of eternity in our hearts. And this sense of eternity makes us know that our existence has an eternal purpose. It makes us ask question, is there a meaning of life on this earth? Have you ever asked that question? Of course. It makes us ask questions like, after this life, is there an afterlife? Actually, we are asking about eternity. And the eternal existence of God, that sense of God in us, is a reminder that all of us are made from an eternal God. And originally, God wants to have an everlasting relationship with men. So this inbuilt capacity in us allows us to know more about God. Now, third, besides planting that sense of eternity in our hearts, what is the next thing? God sets in our hearts the ability to know right and wrong. Now, this thing we call conscience. Now, you did not choose you have a conscience, did you? I hope not. God put the conscience in you before you were born. Actually, God put the conscience into the hearts of men when he first created human beings. The conscience is the ability to know right and wrong. Now, why did he put this conscience in our hearts to everyone. Wherever you go, you can go to the most primitive villages or the Amazon jungles. Anyone been there? No, not me. You talk to the people. They have conscience. I had the opportunity to be a social worker for so long. I met with many people. Actually, in a court of law and everything, I have not met a person who has no conscience. And actually, I have met quite a number of murderers. They can argue they did not do it, or so forth. But if they have done it, they know there is a, you can see there is a conscience in the person. So conscience is God's still voice. That still voice, small voice, telling us that there is a God who is very concerned with the moral condition in this world. That's why you have a conscience. Now we are all very proud of our technological advancements, right? Especially our cell phone. You all have cell phones, right? Yeah. We're very proud of our technological advancement. Tom, you don't have to take it out yet. Yeah. We love it. Many new functions. Now I don't have to set my alarm clock. You know, before you have set the alarm clock and changing it, you know, Bernard, from 8 a.m. to 7 a.m. is very difficult. You have to go 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., go around 24 hours and go back. Now I don't have to set my alarm clock. You know why? I can use my cell phone. Oh, you guys, you must be pretending. You know, you're doing it. I talk to my cell phone, wake me up at 8 a.m. And I got a reply from a very nice girl, you know, beautiful voice. Yes, alarm set at 8 a.m. And then I said to her, thank you. Good night. Beautiful. We have technological advancements, but then, don't laugh. What about our moral standards, Bernard? Especially the country of Canada in the past 10 years. I was studying here 50 years ago. Up to now, I see how Canada changes. And I'm going to ask you a question. How about our moral standards? Is it getting better and better or getting worse and worse? I think you got the answer. The reason why God planted the conscience in our hearts is because he is very concerned with the moral condition in this world, because sin destroys the spirituality or morality of men. And that's why the conscience is put into our hearts. It is God's love urging men to listen to your conscience. It is God's love telling people that there is a God who is very concerned with the morality of this world. And God always guides us through our conscience. And this conscience is woven into the very fabric of our creation. No matter where you come from, no matter you're in a Chinese country, Oriental country or Western country, when you do something good, your conscience feels good. If you do something bad, your conscience feels bad. Can you change that? No. You know why? Because you didn't invent it. It's a built-in mechanism that God puts in you. The Creator's concern. Now, I told you 3 points. Now, all these talk about God. The creation reveals about God's power, eternal power. And you can see that, okay? Okay, the conscience reveals about God's concern for the moral condition of the world. And the sense of eternity reveals God is the eternal Creator. But fourth, at the last, it's not only God reveals about himself, God reveals himself to mankind through the person of Jesus Christ. This conscience will tell us that there is a God, and he is always urging us to listen to him. I remember a true story that a Christian mother, told me. So it's true. And she said that she has an 8-year-old daughter. And one night the daughter was asleep. And you know what mothers like to do, you know. Go to the room, her room, and tidy up the stuff, right? Ashley is smiling. You don't have to do that now, right? Erica is very nice, very tidy. And while this mother, she told me, was tidying up stuff, she suddenly found a new toy in her room. And she remembers she never bought her that toy, no one gave her that toy. So the mother suspected something was wrong. So the mother told me the next morning, when the girl woke up, and she asked her, where did this toy come from? Honestly, the girl said, the other day we went shopping and I took it from the toy store. She said, I stole it. Now, the mother told me at that time she was very troubled. She said, I have two choices. One is to forget about the whole thing, right? Nobody knows. The daughter is only 8 years old. Or secondly, she can do something about it. And then she said her conscience bothered her very much. And then she knew there's something she should do. It's a true story. She brought her daughter back to the toy shop and asked to see the manager privately and told the manager that what the daughter did. And the daughter actually returned the toy to the manager and said, I'm sorry. Well, the manager was so touched. He said, she's only 8 years old. And then the manager said, how much I appreciate your honesty and encourage her. And then the mother told me, the most wonderful thing that happened was not at that time. I said, what is it? It happened when I returned home, she said. What happened? She said, after I returned home, my daughter embraced me in a way I have never felt before. And she was crying. Crying for what? Crying so happily that God has forgiven her. Wow, she said, it's so wonderful to be forgiven by God. And she said, after that incident, not only their relationship became closer, the mother and the daughter, she said, our relationship with God grew closer. So God is good. The conscience is not just there to bug you. Conscience is there to remind you that God has written his law in your heart. Written, the Bible says, written his law in your heart, so you can be guided to make the right decision. The last and the final revelation of God to mankind is through the person of Jesus Christ. Now listen up. This was a full revelation of God. F-U-L-L, full revelation of God, as far as man is concerned. Okay. Because that's the best way God can reveal to himself to mankind, by becoming a man. And I don't think any one of you can tell me there is a better way. It was a full revelation in a sense that God became a man and people can see him with their eyes. People can hear him with their ears. And people can actually touch him. This is revelation. Now, just now, Tom Spencer read to you some Bible verses, and I grouped them up into three groups. The first two verses actually tell us, I'll read them to you, who was Jesus? Who was Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was called the Word. The Word is an expression of God. He was the one who delivers the message to men. Okay, in verse 3, who was Jesus? Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. He was a creator of all things. He was the creator. Now, the second portion of the scripture tell us about the relationship between light and darkness. Now, I want you to understand, according to the Bible, a person living in darkness does not mean that he's in the dark like you are in a dark room. When the Bible says the person is living in darkness, he is saying that there is no light in his life. Now, when you are in a dark room, okay, in a dark room, pitch dark, you can see anything. Inside the room, there are furniture. Bed, chairs, and sofa. But because you're in the dark, can you see the furniture? Yes or no? No. So you can see. But it doesn't mean that the furniture are not there. That's why you look at the visible creation of God. You cannot see the visible God. This is spiritual darkness. There is no light in your life. And Jesus was the light of life. And that's why he came. And he brought life to mankind. So that people can see. And finally, in the last three verses, it tells us what is a gospel. What is the gospel? The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, did not know him. Verse 12, I want you to pay particular attention. This is the gospel. Yet to all who did receive him, to all who accept him, to those who believe in him, in his name, he gave them the right and the authority to become the children of God. Billy Graham once said, if God has such an important message to deliver to us, he would not ask a fortune teller to tell us. He would not ask an astrologer to deliver the message. He actually asked his own son to send us this very important message. And this is a message of love. I want you to know that when God sends you a message, well, you have the responsibility to respond. When you have a friend who sends you an important message, a text message on your cell phone, you will respond. But the fact is, God has delivered a message of love to all of you, to all mankind. Everyone the same message. Wherever you live, whoever you are, men or women, this message of love is to tell us that Jesus died on the cross, which was sung just now with these beautiful lyrics. We have sinned, and that set us apart from God. The reason why we know, we try to find out whether there's a God or not, and we cannot find the answer, is because men have sinned. And sin has separated man and God. And for this reason, we have lost our everlasting relationship with God. So there is an invitation. If you have heard this gospel and you felt in your hearts that day you need God to forgive your sins, to accept Him as your Savior, to become a Christian, to know this God, the eternal God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Now this is the opportunity. So any one of you here, if you want Jesus to cleanse you from sin and receive Him as a Savior, I give you an opportunity right now. The message of love from God is clear. So let's bow and have a time of silent prayer. So I would like to ask if any one of you would like to receive Jesus as a Savior and get your sins all cleansed, I would like you to pray with me. Just follow what I pray. It will be a prayer that of repentance, accepting the fact that we are sinners, but ask Jesus to forgive our sins. So for those who have the urge to do so, just follow me in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us. I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins. I pray that you will forgive all my sins and grant me a new life. I commit my life to you. I will follow you for the rest of my life. I will read your word, and I pray that you will continue to encourage me and to support me. Thank you, Jesus, for your salvation. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. If there's anyone just now who have prayed with me, or there are those who are interested about the gospel of Christ, you can always find someone to help you with. Will you please stand up, Bernard? And who are these? Oh, okay, at the back, is it Noel? And okay, now these few people who just stood up are most welcome, most willing to assist you to become a Christian. So we thank God for His word. God bless you.